Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Glad to see you. Glad to be here. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, caring, loving Mother, I pray your divine providence will break through and make some sense of these words of my mouth. Some sense of the meditations together of our hearts, and may they be acceptable in thy sight. May thy divine word break through and make some sense of these words. And to thee always be the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Christ's name, amen. You know, preachers always like to tell stories on preachers, long as it's not about that preacher. So here goes. Upon entering the pulpit one Sunday, a pastor found a neatly wrapped gift package with his name written on it. Upon opening it, he discovered a watch case and a note attached. The note said, "Dear Pastor, we are herewith presenting to you a watch case, and if you don't shorten your sermons, we're going to give you the works." I'm also reminded of a Henry Ward Beecher, a very famous preacher, renowned, who said one time, "I have given the deacons permission to wake the preacher up if the congregation goes to sleep." So, are the deacons here? Just a word at the risk of, I'm going to assume that I can be a bit presumptuous in having shared last night in an incredible event at Waterfire, honoring veterans and their families. For me, at least, it was empowering and absolutely inspirational. There were a number of people I had not seen in a long time. And at the end of the evening, as a buddy of mine, Wayne Smith, was leaving, I said, "Wayne, let's stay in touch." And he says, "Dick, I'll stay in touch because we need each other. We all need each other." The story of the prodigal is doubtless one of Jesus's best-known parables. It's a paradigm. It's, for me, a very cornerstone of my credo and theology, because it's rooted in God's scandalous grace and fatherly love. For me, this parable is an emblem. It's a biblical touchstone. It's a compass and a look into one of the elementary themes of the gospel. Each time when reflecting and preaching this parable, I'm reminded this is really retelling the gospel story. I've heard a lot of eloquent sermons, artfully done, none of which, of course, were mine. Some of them explored and embellished the depravity of the prodigal. Others exulted in his repentance, triumphed in his return. Now, I must confess, in spending some time with Table Talk the other night, in which we talked and shared our insights regarding this particular parable, and I tell you, I was all set. I was going to jump right in the face of that elder son. For his narcissistic jealousy. As my grandmother used to say, don't be an ingrate. But then I caught myself. Because if I was really honest, what I didn't like in the elder son, at times I don't like in myself. Judge not, Dannenfelser, lest you be judged by what you are judging others. God graciously receives us, this is the message, welcomes us home, rejoices in our turning without any deserving on our part. And at times, for me, not even having any sense, the least of notion, how that is possible. It is not so much seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. God always welcomes us home. But I still wonder whatever happened to the elder son. Now, how does this parable speak to all of you and me and to Providence Presbyterian Church? Karl Barth, a renowned theologian, remarked one time, it's not so much how we read the Bible as it is how the Bible reads us. How do we see ourselves in the biblical truth there reflected? Is there any good news for us in all the bad news that is around us? How does the scandalous grace of the loving Father hit me? How does it hit you? How does it hit all of us, if not the whole world? What does it have to offer? What's the good news? What does it have to say to Trey and his family? Is there good news for Dan and his family as they have walked and continue to walk in the valley of the shadow? Is there any good news? What does it have to offer my brother George, who was told at a veterans hospital last week, if he does not stop drinking, he will be dead in 6 months. What does it have to say of all who are locked up, locked in by alcohol or substance abuse? Is there any good news? What does it have to say to people on the SNAP program who are getting cut, who are trying to live on $1.56 a day? What does it have to say to them? Is there any good news for our brothers and sisters? Our LGBT brothers and sisters who continue to face the alienation and sin of homophobia. What does it have, is there any good news? What does it have to say to the racism that demonizes our president and his family? Or the racial, the ethnic, the sexual bullying that goes on that is threatening to destroy the very fabric of this democracy and country. What does it have to say to the voracious greed that those with the most inflict on those with the least? You cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if you don't have any boots. And even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Brother Dan, who reminded me, what about every minute, 30 children in this world are dying of starvation and inadequate health care? Jesus, you know, put first those whom society put last. The parable of the loving father, what does it have to say to veterans and their families as we welcome them home and say thank you for their sacrifice and their service? What does the parable have to say to all the victims of war and violence? The Vietnam War alone, there were 3 million people. Basically, it was a form of genocide. Or the 58,000 U.S. casualties. What does the gospel, what does the loving father have to say to the 125,000 Vietnam veterans who have committed suicide later in life? What does it have to say to the 20 military people coming back from combat and war? 20 people every week who commit suicide. What do we have to say? What do we have to say to the people at Tap Rap, Table Talk, who, as we talk together, exactly the same fears that we all are struggling with? How do we deal with our loneliness? How do we deal with our fear of abandonment and a fear of death of a loved one? And Providence Presbyterian Church, what does the parable of the loving father have to say that will engage and inspire your ministry especially how does the diversity, the wonderful diversity that is here, how does that get reflected in the leadership? How do we live the Easter faith in a Good Friday world? How do we live the resurrection hope in the face of evil and greed? If we don't share our love, we are destined to live in despair. The parable of the loving Father, the good news, is that love always rules. Not anything or anyone will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will be able to separate us from God's grace and love because it's unconditional. And unconditional love, unconditional grace, does not seek value. It creates value. We don't have to prove ourselves, folks. All we have to do is express ourselves in love to each other. What an incredible world of difference there is when we don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to continue to go on securing ourselves with our insecurities. We don't have to prove ourselves. We just have to express ourselves. Faith is being grasped by God's spirit of fatherly and motherly love. As our Native American Apache chief once said, pray, pray, then move your feet. If you want to keep the faith, you do the charity. Biblical witness is not about the love of force. It's about the force of love. Growing up in the Bronx, I learned a couple things that's really helped me survive. And this is what it was, what it is. You stick up for yourself. You stick together. And you stick up for each other. The worst thing that you could be called in the Bronx is a flat lever. Now, a flat lever is someone who leaves a friend or his family flat. Semper Fi. Always be faithful. God is always faithful. And God's fatherly love will never leave you flat. And my brother Wayne, we all need each other. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank thee for your scandalous, marvelous, fatherly and motherly love. May may we never leave each other or anybody else flat. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.